This year, I will turn 80 years old. And as you go through life, there's a few bumps, and sometimes life will beat you up a little bit. And life has beat me up a little bit, but you know what? That's okay, because that's what happens. And it may happen to you too. And there's an end to it. And so I've been thinking, what happens? What happens to you when you die? And there's some TV programs that say you get reincarnated, you come back, and you can make everything that you did wrong right. You get second chances, like a do-over. Or it's in some of the countries in Asia, they think if you were good, you come back as something better than you were. And if you were bad, you come back as a bug or something like that. So, you know, the reincarnation thing. But they have all kinds of theories, and people have all kinds of ways of thinking about this. But you know what? No one that I know of here right now has looked behind the curtain of death and see what happens. But this morning, we're going to find out what happens, because we're going to talk to somebody. We're going to listen to somebody who knows. This is the God who made you. This is the God who tells you, or gives you what we call a heads up. This is what's going to happen when you die. Whether you believe it or not, whether you know it or not, whether you agree with it or not, this is what's going to happen. Because you know what? It's impossible for God to lie. All the promises that God has made, God has kept. This promise, he will keep, whether you like it or not, whether you're ready or not. That's the thing about it. A lot of people are not ready for death, and they're so scared of dying because they don't know what's on the other side, and they're not ready for it. Here, God says, there's going to be a test, there's going to be a judgment, and here's the heads up for it. Read this, do what it says, you're going to be fine. Don't read this, don't do what it says, you're going to be in trouble. What happens after you die? This is where we all end up, in the grave. It's sad but true. This life has an end. It has a beginning and an end. But there's something in us that doesn't have a beginning. Well, it had a beginning. It doesn't have an end, okay? And that's spirit. But we all end up in the grave, and some people are so afraid of the grave. Our nature is twofold. We're physical, we're spiritual. We have a physical side, we have a body, and a spirit. And the spirit's the soul, okay? We have a dual nature. When we die, there's a separation that takes place. The spirit, which is in you, which is not physical, leaves the body. James says this, and this is from the Holy Spirit, this is from God, and this is true. The body without the spirit is dead. So faith without works is dead also. God has things for you to do. And if you just think, well, if I just believe, have an intellectual assent, I'm all right with God. You got to do some things. One of the things you've got to do is called obedience. You got to obey God. If you don't, Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And his commandments aren't grievous. He says, take my yoke upon you. Do what Jesus says. He says, for my yoke is easy, my burden's light. You'll have a better life doing what Jesus says. You'll have a better hereafter doing what Jesus said. Your body returns to the dust. When you die, they put you in the ground, or you get cremated. You know, your body returns to dust. Ecclesiastes says, remember your creator before the silver cord is loose. These are metaphors for you dying, okay? Remember your creator before the silver cord is loose, you die. Or the golden bowl is broken, you die. Or the pitcher shattered at the fountain, you die. We're getting the point, aren't we? Or the wheel broken at the well, you die. Then the dust, which is us, we're made of dust, will return to the earth as it was. Genesis. This is God talking to Adam after he blew it in the garden. In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken, and this is God saying this, you're dust, and to dust you shall return. We're put in a situation, this is what's going to happen, whether we believe it or not, whether we like it or not. This is the situation we're in. We're made of dust, and we're going to return to dust. Genesis 2, and the Lord God formed the man of the dust of the ground. This is the part that's special. And breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. God worked on us. The spirit doesn't die. It's immortal. It returns to God and awaits to the judgment. So we got our dual nature. Our physical body, as we get, 80, 90 years old, thump, we're gone in the ground. It returns to dust. It doesn't go anywhere. The spirit, which God gave you, goes back to God. So we got to be very careful with what we do with our spirit. Ecclesiastes, I like the 12th chapter, but anyway, when you die, the dust will return to the earth as it was. Yes. And the spirit will return to God who gave it. God gave you his spirit. You better be careful what you do with it, because it does belong to God. You've got it loaned to you for a while. And this applies to you. This applies to Clyde. And to all of mankind. You're responsible to God. And I've talked to some people and they think, no, I'm not. I'll do what I want. Yeah, you will. But there eventually you're going to be held accountable. There are consequences to your decisions. There are consequences to your life, whether you like it or not, whether you believe it or not. This is what God says is going to happen when you die. Believe it, because God doesn't lie. Hebrews 9 says, it's appointed for men to die once, so you don't get reincarnated. You don't get second chances. You don't come back as a bug or a spider. When you die, you're done, okay? But after that, God says there's going to be a judgment. And it's not for your body. It's for your spirit. Because what's more important, your body or your spirit? A lot of times, we spend a lot of time taking care of our bodies, cleaning it and all that other stuff. But our spirit is immortal. The body is mortal. It won't last long. The spirit will last forever. Where does your spirit go after you die? Where does it go? According to Ecclesiastes, your spirit goes back to God, not into the grave like the spirit of beasts. Your body goes in the ground, but your spirit doesn't go there. It belongs to God. And you know what? God is forever. Eternity is forever. Your spirit is forever. Be careful how you handle your forever. Ecclesiastes 3. For what happens to the sons of men? This is the fact that we all die. This is the fact that we breathe. We're just like the dogs and the cats. Although it's a shame to see some of the dogs and the cats die a lot quicker than we do. But what happens to the sons of men also happens to animals. One thing befalls them. As one dies, so does the other. Dogs and cats and animals die. People die. Surely they have all one breath, so we don't have any advantage over the animals. We're going to die just like the animals. Our bodies will not live forever. And some people act as though they want their bodies to live forever. You know what? With this body, I don't want to live forever. God has a better place for it. All go to one place. Where's that? The grave. All are from dust, and all return to the dust. Yes. Recycling. God's the best recycler in the world. Okay. Who knows the spirit of the sons of men, which go upward, and the spirit of the animal, which goes down to the earth. We are special. We're not some smart, dumb animal. We're a special creation of God with special responsibilities and special consequences.
Animals don't have that. We have that. And like I said, and like I was telling the other guy the other day, whether you like it or not, this is what God said. This is what's going to happen. Get ready for it. Get prepared for it. In Luke, talking about Abraham and Lazarus the beggar, where the rich man had everything he wanted, and Lazarus had a tough life, okay? So that it was when the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom, the rich man also died and was buried. And being in torments, this is the rich man, in Hades, or the unseen world of the dead, okay, behind the veil, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off, and he saw Lazarus in his bosom. From this example, it appears that Hades, which is the realm of the dead, has two parts to it. Remember Jesus talking to the thief on the cross, "Today you'll be with me in paradise"? Well, in the realm of Hades, there's a big division, and there's a gulf between. There's a good side and a bad side. There's a comfort side and there's a torment side, okay? A place of comfort, paradise, and a place of torment. Between these two parts of Hades, there's the great gulf. Our destiny is sealed at death, so there's no way to change. So once you die and you go to the realm of the dead, whatever you've done in life shows up there. You're either on the good side of Hades or the bad side. You're either in paradise or in torment. And even though everyone on the torment side would like to get to the other side, Abraham and God says, that's not going to happen. There's the great gulf, and you can't change. This is what I think Moses said to, or Abraham said to the rich man. And besides all this, between us and you, there's a great gulf, so that if you want to pass from one here to the other side, you cannot. Your fate is sealed. You don't get second chances. You don't get do-overs. God's in control. You're not going to say to God, "You know, God, I didn't think it was this way. Can you stop the whole thing? I want it different." It's not going to happen. God is in control when you die. You are in control while you live. You are in control of what you say, see, think, and do. Because God gave you free will. It's a gift from God. But there are consequences with this gift that God gave you of free will. You're going to answer for your free will. You're going to answer for the choices you made, whether you like it or not, whether you believe it or not. God's right. God cannot lie. He's given you a heads up. He's given you his book. He's given you a roadmap. He's given you a highway of holiness. Get on it and stay on it. Do what God says. Now, what happens next? See, there's several steps after you die. God's in control of each and every step. We are the recipients of it. We're not in control of it. We can't say, "God, no, I want to skip step two. I want to go to step three. Can I have a do-over?" No. God's in control. The next thing that happens after Hades is the resurrection. This happens at the second coming of Christ. And God, who cannot lie, said Christ will come. 1 Thessalonians. For the Lord Jesus Christ himself, he's going to descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel. It's not going to be in secret. It's not just going to be for a few people who notice it coming. It's going to be for the whole world. And the trumpet of God and the dead in Christ. God has a preference for his children. God's children are the ones who obey him. God's children are the ones who keep commandments. God's children are the ones who are faithful unto death to get the crown of life. You want to be God's children? Do what God said. John says, "Don't marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the grave," all the dead people, "will hear his voice." See, God's in control. The dead will hear his voice, and they'll come forth. And here's the part where you're not going to change. If you've done good, you go to the resurrection of life. And if you've done evil, you go to the resurrection of condemnation. There's no do-over, no second chances, no second. Raise your hand and say, no, I don't want this. I'm stopped. Stop the bus. I want to get out. You can't. I like it when God's in control. But God said, this is what's going to happen. Here's your heads up. You know this is going to happen. Are you ready for it? Don't marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the grave, all the dead people, will hear his voice. God can cause that. And they'll come forth, because when God says something, this is what's going to happen. This is what's going to do. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. Yes, a bodily resurrection. Bodies will be changed. Our bodies will be reunited with our spirit. But not the same body we had here on this earth, because I think I've broken this one up pretty good. 1 Corinthians, Paul tells the Corinthian brethren, now I say, brethren, that flesh and blood, which is the bodies we have, cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Our bodies don't go to heaven. Nor does corruption, which is our bodies, meet incorruption, which is a heavenly body. Behold, I'm telling you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, which is die, but we shall all be what? We're going to be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. God's in control. The trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised. How? Incorruptible, immortal, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible, this dead body, this mortal stuff, this physical stuff, must put on incorruption, which is the immortal, which is the spiritual, which is the forever stuff. And this mortal must put on immortality, never dying again. So that when this corruptible, the dead stuff, has put on incorruption, the spiritual stuff which lives forever, and this mortal has put on immortality, which is foreverness, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written. No more death. Death is swallowed up. We're victorious. We're going to live forever. God says so. Revelation. I like the scenes in Revelation. Then I saw a great white throne, and him who sat on it, whose face the earth and the heaven fled away from, and there was found no place for them. Heaven is a spiritual place, not a physical place, okay? And I saw the dead with their new body, small and great, standing before God. Uh-oh. The books were opened. There's going to be books. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And I think the Bible is the book of life, because when the disciples were having a problem with Jesus, and Jesus said, are you going to leave? And Peter says to Jesus, where are we going to go? You have the words of life. The words of life, spiritual life, is in God's word. And that's what the book of life, I think, is all about. That's my I think so. I may be wrong, but. And the dead were judged according to their works. You got to do some things. You just don't got to believe in Jesus. You just don't have to have a mental assent. You got to do some things. The dead were judged according to what they did, by the things which were written in the books. God tells you how to live. God wants you to live righteously and holy. You have the choice. You have the free will. God gave it to you. What a great gift to say yes or no to God. What a great consequence to say yes or no to God. You will be held responsible for what you say, see, think, and do. How you act and react, your choices, there's going to be an accounting. The sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and Hades were delivered up the dead that were in them, and they were judged. You're going to be judged. Each one according to what? To work, according to your works, according to what you did. And then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. See, God is a God of life. And light and love. He's not a God of death. If we choose God, we choose life. And if we don't, we're choosing death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. I don't want to be found not written in the book of life. I want to be found written in the book of life. I want to do what God said. I want to be faithful to death. I want to be in God's kingdom. After this, we're all standing there, you're going to be, take part of this, whether you like it or not. This will occur at the second coming of Christ. I felt that's OD. Into Matthew, the last 15 verses of Matthew 25. Romans says, we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. It's like a courtroom scene. We're going to be individually judged by what we do. We're not going to say, well, we're going to judge the ones from Milton or the ones from the United States or what, or Canada. No, individual, what you've done. If God knows every hair on your head, don't you think he knows what you've done with your life? God's a righteous judge. 2 Corinthians, Paul tells the Corinthians, and Corinth was a tough town. Okay, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, whether you want to or not, that each one may receive the things done in the body. You're responsible for what you do according to what you've done, whether it's good or bad. God knows what you're doing. That's the thing that really keeps me in line, is the fact that God knows. Whether you know what I do or not when I'm not here, fine. But God knows. And who am I going to stand before? You guys? No, I'm going to stand before God. So I better get it right with God. It's a real personal thing that my righteousness exceeds the righteousness of just anybody. That I try to be like Christ. Because we're all going to stand before God. We're going to stand before Christ. We're going to be judged accurately and fully. Romans, in the day when God will judge the secrets of men. We may hide some of the things we do. God knows what we've done. In that day when God will judge the secrets of men, by who? By Jesus Christ. And according to my gospel. The gospel simply means good news. Jesus Christ is good news. He's the way to stop us from going to the lake of fire, to hell, to destruction, to perdition. The gospel is the good news. And the good news is Jesus came to save you. Believe in Jesus. Confess him before men. I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Repent of your sins. Turn away from your sin. Be baptized into Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. God says, I'll wash away those sins. Be thou faithful unto death. And God says, I'll give you the crown of life. He's mapped it all out. God's made it simple. God's done all what we call the heavy lifting. God's done the hard part. He's made a way for you. He's made a highway for you. He loves you. He wants to take care of you. Are you going to respond to that love? Are you going to do what God wants? Are you going to be faithful? 2 Thessalonians, end times. Since it's a righteous thing, it's right with God to repay with tribulation those who trouble you. And there are people who just trouble you because you're a Christian. To give you who are troubled, that's us Christians, rest with us when the Lord Jesus, how's he going to be revealed? He's going to be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. In flaming fire. That's going to be seen by everybody. He's going to take vengeance. He's going to punish those who do not know God. Wow. Oh, there's another thing. And those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. The good news about Jesus is something you have to obey. I know it's something you have to believe, but something you have to act on. Confess Jesus. Repent of your sins, be baptized, be faithful. Those are things you can do. You have a choice. God gave you free will. These, the ones who don't obey the gospel, shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and the glory of his power. Wow. Between you and me, we're dealing with scary things this morning. Because it's not something said, well, some of us may die and some of us may not. All of us will die at one time or another. All of us will stand before the judgment. All of us will answer for what we've done. And God says, here's the highway of holiness. Here's the heads up. Do what I said, things will be fine. Don't do what I said, you're going to be punished. You know this right now. If there's something in your life that you need to straighten out, if you're not a Christian, you haven't been baptized into Christ, you're headed for destruction. Straighten out those things now while there's time. So if you have a need to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, or to repent publicly of anything that you need to straighten out, and we can help you, please come as we stand and sing.